We welcome University of Maryland Shore Regional Health this morning as they bring us the latest installment of their Ask the Expert series. Joining us are Kate Gallagher from the Communications and Marketing Department, and today's expert, Sharon Dundon, who is a specialist with Shore Behavioral Health's Substance Disorders Program. Kate, share with us a little bit about Shore Regional Health.
As part of University of Maryland Medical System, UM Shore Regional Health is the principal provider of comprehensive health care services for the residents of Caroline, Dorchester, Kent, Queen Anne's, and Talbot counties. Shore Regional Health's team of more than 2,500 employees, medical staff, board members, and volunteers strives to be the region's leader in patient-centered care, health care, by offering our patients regional access to care provided by a group of highly skilled medical experts. Very pleased to have one of those experts with us today, Sharon Dundon, who is a certified addictions counselor in Shore Behavioral Health's Outpatients Addictions Program, and also a leading member of the ad hoc group Recovery for Shore.
Sharon, thanks for being here with us today. First, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Shore Behavioral Health.
Great. Thanks for having me. As stated, I'm a certified counselor, and I've been with Shore Health since birth, it seems, 25 years. And we run a intensive outpatient program here in Easton for all types of substance disorders. We have a full continuum of care. We see people individually as well as with groups. We have my partner, Lisa Flynn. She's been with us for 9 years. So we have some longevity in our department. We have Eric Anderson, who is our medical director and psychiatrist. We have two new peers we've added on. So we have a full complement of staff and a really good team that I'm very proud of.
Now, I think that most people would agree that substance abuse and addictions are serious issues here on the shore, as well as across the nation. But, you know, you have a close-up view. What do you see going on in our communities now in terms of trends and substance abuse and addiction, things like that?
Obviously, the epidemic at this point has been the heroin addiction. We do see our share of it for sure. We have found it to be pretty difficult to treat with the normal types of interventions that have worked successfully for other drugs. So we're seeing some pharmacological interventions there with some other programs. Certainly alcohol is legal, it's cheap, readily accessible, and people have their share of problems with alcohol ongoing. Marijuana is a gateway drug. We see that be the lead to trying other drugs, harder drugs. You know, people don't start out shooting heroin. It is something that begins earlier on, and that becomes the end result many times. Very heartbreaking to see some of the outcomes recently.
Now, I'm sure we all know addiction is a disease. Can you get into that?
Yes, it is very much a medical condition that becomes part of the difficulty with people getting caught up in it being a moral issue. This is a medical disorder. This is a brain disorder. And if the more we can think of it like that, I think the better we'll be able to treat it without emotions getting in the way of good medical care. And for families as well, to think of it as that medical disorder.
So you could even compare it to something like diabetes.
Yeah, that's a common analogy in terms of being able to identify what's wrong, learn how to live with it. It's chronic, like diabetes. It's something that once it triggers and it's ingrained, it will be something that you have to manage your whole life, but you can live successfully. Many, many, many people in our community do.
Now, you often hear people in successful recovery say they wish that they'd done it sooner. So what are the main reasons you feel that people don't seek help?
I see stigma, whether it's blatant stigma or the unsaid stigma of, well, I should be able to handle it on my own. I think sometimes people who don't have addictions, we have a tendency to say, well, just use like I do, or just have one. Why do you have to have more? I don't understand that. So people really try to treat it on their own, and it gets escalated. And like any disorder, it's harder to treat the further along it gets.
Would you say it's kind of a co-occurring disorder? What does that
mean? Co-occurring disorders mean two primary disorders occurring. So that would be addiction, is a primary disorder, as well as oftentimes we think of as mental health disorders, having depression in and of itself or anxiety in and of itself. And when the two are rolling at the same time, usually we try to treat one and not the other, and it doesn't, the results don't, are not very good. So now we look at treating co-occurring disorders at the same time, you know, not waiting until you're 6 months clean before we address your depression. We need to get both of these addressed at the same time to have your, have a good outcome.
Well, that definitely makes sense. So ideally speaking, how does treatment for substance abuse and addiction work? What are the kind of challenges for patients in achieving recovery?
Well, first of all, a lot of folks don't know where to go. If they're looking, they don't know where to go. You know, we can be a good clearinghouse for that. Oftentimes, a lot of the health departments are clearinghouses for that. You know, finding the right approach. You know, there is no wrong door, as we like to say. There are probably better doors to go into so that you don't get disappointed. A lot of folks go into the emergency rooms with something in their mind, and it may or may not happen that way. We have a full complement of Shore Behavioral Health through the hospitals, from the emergency room evaluators in there. We work on the psychiatric unit in Cambridge as a part of a co-occurring disorder, having a primary mental health. There's a lot of private facilities in Easton that we could direct you to as well, to make sure that you get the right treatment.
Right. So, I mean, would you say there's like a typical process for somebody who's approaching a treatment themselves?
Evaluation. You need to get an evaluation first. Let's get in front of a professional. Let's see where we can direct you, whether you need inpatient. And the one thing I caution is that a lot of folks feel that inpatient is the holy grail, and once I go to inpatient once, I'm done. That's a huge mistake. Inpatient is a very valuable tool, but it is not the end. It is the beginning of work in your community, continued health treatments.
Would you say that a lot of the people who are having these issues kind of have a lack of family involvement? Is that safe to say?
I have to say we've had a family program for almost 25 years, and I've seen the same amount of family go through. It's been pretty consistent, and that's not a lot. I think one of the difficulties is family are saying, you know, this is your problem, I'm done. You know, because family intervenes early, you know, before they ever step in front of myself or anyone in my field. So family involvement is crucial, just like it would be for diabetes. You know, you can't have a newly diabetic in your home and not expect it to affect the family, from what you get at the grocery store to appointments to needle checks to, you know, sugar checks. It's the same with addictions, and we need to think of it that way.
Now, on that note, are there good resources for individuals and families struggling with addiction in our local communities?
Yes. Yeah, we have some good resources here. We certainly have Mobile Crisis, who's been involved in some of the crisis things here on the shore. As I said, the health departments are good clearinghouses. Dry Dock Community in Cambridge is it's a gathering of peers and support, computers. They'll help you figure out where you're going. It's a nice, safe place to go. Chesapeake Voyagers, they do really good work. They have hold meetings. They have Nar-Anon, Al-Anon, all those good things. 12-step support groups, can't say enough good about them as well.
Any hotlines or emergency resources?
Well, the emergency resource, I guess, would be Mobile Crisis, the Sante group. They do some good work.
I understand that the network Recovery for Shore is holding its second annual Walk of Hope in June. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about this event?
Yes. Last April, we had our first Walk of Hope. We had over 200 people come out. It was great. It was. We started in Idlewild Park, and our goal was to kind of walk through town, make a little bit of a disturbance so that we could get our mission out. You know, people get it. People are in recovery. Let's not stigmatize people who have a problem. And when you see 200 people walking and supporting that, that's a lovely thing. So our next walk is going to be a little different. We're waiting till June. It was wet and cold back in April. We're hoping for warm and no wet. June 3rd, we're going to walk from Christ Church, and then we're going to make it so that we can get back for the Alive at 5 program there with our partner, Christ Church. They do. It's just, I don't know if anybody's ever been. It's kind of a great service, awesome music, and come out and see. You'll really like it. I'd also like to mention another agency that's very active in recovery and doing some grief support work for families, and that's Mariah's Mission. They have really put forth some great services for families. We can find that on the Talbot Spy Resources, Mariah's Mission. They have their own website. And Recovery for Shore, we have our own Facebook page.
Not to jump around, but back to the walk. Is this free? I mean, is it anything that people have to kind of contribute to?
Free. Won't cost a dime. Just a lot of fun, a lot of awareness, meet some great people. It's a great community to be involved with.
Wonderful.
Family, recovery, you name it.
How would someone who wants to learn more about addiction treatment options and recovery support and find information?
Well, for the hospital, you could go to the University or UMS Shore Regional.org and go under the centers and services and look for behavioral health. We have a full range of services there. You could call my office. It's at the hospital, 410-822-1000, extension 5452. And, of course, we have the emergency rooms if you're in crisis.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming and telling us about addiction services and other treatment through behavioral health services.
Thanks so much, Jules, for having us and for allowing us the time to share this really important information for people in our communities.